Okay, so as I was saying, the material that I'm going to be covering is not just hard skills. If you're used to Club X, there's a lot of hard skill classes. I do some. Most of the stuff that I teach is not anywhere on the internet. The stuff that I teach tends to be the stuff that I learned 30-something years ago, where I'm teaching. Hey, welcome, brother. What I'm teaching is success techniques, coping mechanisms, I'll be emitting little wisdom pellets, okay? You can pick through them however you want, and that includes if the topic doesn't seem like a big one to you, then you don't have to show up. But I'm going to be covering a lot of very esoteric topics because in order to be a widely respected Dom, Sir, Top, where you show up and everybody's glad you showed up, that's the goal. That's my goal for you, where you're like, oh boy, this was the right idea. You know, everybody, you know, I showed up and everybody's glad and, you know, everybody's rejoicing after I leave. Well, in order to have that happen, you have to understand more than just technique. There's a lot more, because being a good dominant means also being a really good leader. Maybe it's just with one person. Maybe it's with a large number of people. But leadership skills have a lot to do with it. For instance, one of the topics I'll be covering in the weeks and months ahead is giving permission. Well, that doesn't seem like much of a topic. It's about 2.5 hours. Why is it so long? Because I'm illustrating points with different stories. What I do in my teaching technique is that I'll be using parables, meaning stories with a moral core, where I say, this is the point I'm leading to and this is why. This is the example that I'm going to be giving. Because what I want is for you guys to get what I've done with many, 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 many other people in the last few decades, where you land like a bomb on the community, where everybody's so glad, and they're happy, they're pleased, you know, you know, they're throwing rose petals and red carpets in your path. One of the things that happened, who here was at, I know Scott was, but who else here was at the Left of the Slash dinner on Monday? Nobody, okay. Well, one of the things that we talked about, okay, was that, let me make sure I'm not going to screw up the point. One of the things that we talked about was success, okay? I don't fail, really. And I'm going to say that again. I don't fail. I always succeed in what I'm doing as a sir, as a top, as a dom, as a master. I want that for you too. That's my intention. The way that I describe it is that I'm here, you're here, my job's to get you up here. I want that. Why? What is my motivation? I'm not getting any money from this. I'm not getting any sex from it. What's my motivation? A community that has well-balanced, joyful, successful doms, as opposed to bossy people, is a healthy community. And I'm dedicated to that. Why am I so damn dedicated? What's my motivation? Well, as I've said before, I've lost over 140 men in my life to AIDS. They were my life, they were my community, they were my tribe, and they were not replaced. I know what it's like when we're really happy and successful. Right now, we're at the best point in our history as far as the kink community, by far. But there's more room for improvement in terms of us loving and trusting each other. So that's my motivation for teaching. So I'm just kind of letting you know, if you're not on the email list, make sure that you are, so you can pick and choose. If the topic doesn't seem like one that you'd like, I disagree. I think that every one of these things I'm going to be talking about, even though they may seem esoteric, they have a really deep core to them that I think you'd really enjoy. So, let's get to the main topic. Tonight's topic, of course, being how to play with a butt. So why would we care? That article, last time I checked, has been read over 43,000 times. And I posted it, I think, Thursday or Friday. Why has it gone so viral worldwide? I mean, really worldwide? Everybody's sending it off to their other half saying, please read this. Because it's the definitive article. It really is. I have never met anybody who can tell it the way that I can. So what the hell qualifies me? I talked about it in the article. But remember, I came out as a leather man in 75, but started living leather in 77, which is where I counted from. As I said in the article, I learned the hard way that there are people who don't know what the hell they're doing. And it can scar and damage people, physically damage people. but more than that, emotionally damage people. Where they get their butt played with, where you do it like they do in the porn, it's not going to work. And again, I've never met any human being who ever wanted to be a bad top. Nobody. They all want to be on the good side of the angels, but they don't want to be scorned. Oh, don't go anywhere near him. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Or, you know, no doesn't mean no for her. You know, scandal, bad talk, all that other shit. I don't want that for anybody. What we have to do is love each other enough to say, here's what works, as opposed to scorning each other. Because it happens. And I'm the loving, supportive elder in the community, and that's why I'm doing this stuff. I'm loving you guys enough to let you know what I've learned. So the way that I learned this stuff, as I've said elsewhere, I went to 12 years of Catholic school. I came out of it knowing how fucking ignorant I was. And I was lucky enough to dive deep into the Gay Leathermans community and have many, many, many wise elders who helped me to learn. So the things that I'll be teaching, you know, in this semester, as I call it, in this sequence of classes, what I'm going to be teaching is what I learned. Because every time I would play with the man, and this is literally, and I'm not bragging, thousands of times, I would say, how can I have made this better? And they would tell me, because I was starved for mentoring. And all these decades, I've been practicing this stuff and teaching it, and now this is me finally opening it up to new friends. So, let's get to the topic. That's the preamble. I want you guys to be really clear, as I said in my last class. Interrupt me. Raise your hand. I'm going to be fine. I have notes with me so I can get back on track. But far more important, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts, something that excites you, any observations at all, any kind of feedback, any kind of powerful thing. Like this last class, 2 weeks ago, we had some serious stars in our group that spoke up a lot, and that really thrills me. I am not bothered by interruption. This is not a monologue. I'm going to be putting out a lot of information, but I don't want to be seen as just somebody who's talking at you. I want this to be a flow. I like audience participation, so you have full permission. Okay? So having expressed that, so again, my bias is I'm a gay man. I know nothing about a woman's butt. I don't know. But I assume there's a lot of crossover. Yeah. And
Other than one key thing.
Thank you. And see, I want to hear feedback like that. Because this is about us sharing our wisdom. All of us. As I said last class, imagine yourself putting on an invisible t-shirt that has the word mentor on the front, and that we all step into that space. Because what if you have something to add that will add value to everybody else? See, what I'm actually doing is I'm audio recording this, and I'll edit it down later and all that, but I'll post it. Because you never know. What I've learned from having posted audio from Fetishman discussions is that people learn a lot from the side comments, and I hear about it, a lot of them from China. You wouldn't believe how many people follow us from China. If I post an audio recording, within 8 hours, it's downloaded 8,000 times, really. People in Germany, in Lithuania, in Dubai, lots of them in Dubai, lots and lots of different countries. I've seen 72 different countries download these audio. Because what they're getting is a sense of warmth, of community, and connectedness. And they're starved for that, just like everybody is. But we can take it for granted, because, hey, we all like each other already. We're great people. But in these other countries, they don't have that, and they yearn for it. So even if they can only be a fly on the wall. So let's talk about butts. Okay, sorry, I keep doing the preamble, and I need to put a period at the end of the sentence and move on. So if you haven't read the article, I'm just going to basically summarize, as I have it here with me, I'm glad to say. The idea is, again, I want you to succeed, but what are the things that cause us to fail? If we treat a butt just like another thing to fuck, and we try it for the first time with somebody, and they go, shit, get the hell away from me, and then they never call you back, that's not a success. What I want is success instead. I'm going to bring up the topic of mercy, where I'm merciful with that other person by default. For all I know, they might be a little piggy where, you know, stuffing your cock inside of them is like throwing a dildo down a hallway. Who knows? But I'm not going to make that assumption, because what if this is their big chance to finally see what all the shouting's about, what all the enjoyment is about?
So if we start with the assumption that the person that we're going to play with is shy, unsure, insecure, and kind of a little worried, then let's start from that premise. As I said in my article, too many people have been damaged by being fucked the wrong way, in the ass, okay? And so then what I talk about is that when, okay, pardon me, I'm going to get to the point here. Yeah. Taking care of the fingernails. Smooth, as if you were going to be fisting them. Hi, welcome. So if I'm clip my nails, I'm going to clip them nice and short. I'm going to file them. And I use my tongue. I use my tongue because the tongue is just as delicate as somebody's butt. And if my tongue says, hey, there's a sharp edge, trust the tongue. Because my fingers are covered in thick calluses. They can't tell that there's a sharp edge there because, you know, it's dull sensation. But using your tongue to make sure there's no sharp edges. As I said in the article, there is no such thing as too much lube. The joke back in the old days was, if it's not dripping off the ceiling, there's not enough lube.
Oh yeah.
See, I got the 50. Thank you. I've got the 55-gallon drum with the party pump.
Yeah.
I'll be dropping those in there periodically. Thank you, love. And thank you for contributing. And see, we need. Many people have been singing the praises of J Lube. Who here has experience with J Lube? Okay.
Is that like?
Please, Skodla. Skodla. What is it? What were you going to say, Magna?
Is J-Lube the lube for fisting?
Yes. Right. The reason why it is recommended, I believe it is a powder, right? And then you add water to it. Yeah, so it's the most cost-effective butt play lube you can get. J-Lube. I don't sell it. But the point is, you buy it, and it makes a ton of lube. That's why fisters like it so much. It's very cost-effective. It doesn't dry out so easily. It's nice. I have used it, it's just that I don't use it nowadays. I have slaves buying me lube like crazy all the time. It's kind of nice. We tend to use boy butter, but that's my specialty. I do love boy butter. It's a greasy effect, but it's not greasy, you know, not actual grease.
Can you, the difference between silicone and water-based?
Oh, God, yes. Thank you. Why don't you editorialize lens for a second? I'd love to hear it.
I always get them confused, but one's better than the other. one gets that sticky feeling, mm-hmm. and the other one just kind of it, again, it's oily, but it's slick. It's they like most of them describe them as silky.
Right. There is only yeah. one silicone. Thank you. There is only one silicone lube that I recommend. It's called 9x6, 9x6. Why? Because the gentleman in the porn industry who came up with this stuff has a 9x6 dick. Mm-hmm. He's a very nice man. I like him plenty. And the reason why I endorse 9x6 silicone lube is it doesn't fucking ruin your sheets. It washes out. Soap does affect it. Versus regular silicone lube, it will ruin your sheets, it'll ruin your shirts, it'll ruin anything it gets on because it doesn't come out. Because laundry detergent won't touch it. Okay? So silicone lubricant, the main advantage of it, other than it makes sensational massage oil, but also it doesn't dry out. From my viewpoint, I mean, I've used silicone lube for ass fucking, but honestly, I'm a lot more interested in boy butter for my personal taste. But the thing to say about silicone lube, do not use it with silicone toys because it will cause the surface to degrade. Yes?
I don't want to contradict you in your own class.
Please.
But I've done some extensive research on this with experts.
Thank you. I prefer your wisdom.
Specifically on silicone lube and silicone toys. Mm-hmm. And if it's high-quality medical-grade silicone toys and high-quality silicone lube,
there you go.
They generally don't degrade one another.
Good.
If there's an additive in it, it's a low-quality product, then they'll degrade each other.
Thank you.
Well, the thing with that, we do a lot of, like if you get, for lack of better words, not human... dildos, they're not the higher quality silicone, so we've had them degrade on us within a year.
Oh, yeah.
What does that
which
mean?
Is unfortunate. Oh,
pardon me?
What does she mean by not human dildos?
We do pet play, so I have dogs and
right.
wolf and
right.
ponies. And
yeah.
Oh, they're not made out of silicone.
Yeah, so they're usually custom made or they're usually made in a garage.
And there's no telling what people will add to them. I once bought, thank you, just a moment. I once bought a silicone dildo for a young man that was in Afghanistan. And over there, the internet is censored, so you can't order dildos over there. So he asked me to send him one in a care package. And just before I sent it, I opened up the package, and it was infused with women's perfume. And unless he's got nostrils in his asshole, I don't see the point.
So what are you putting it on a face?
Yeah, okay. I can't imagine doing that. But yes, what were you going to say?
It's also great to just throw a condom on it. You can also switch butts that way.
That is very wise. Thank you. Now, so I'm going to point something out. I love this kind of feedback. I adore it. I adore it. Again, thank you for honoring my request. Yes?
Can I ask a question? I have a large number of dildos, and some of them, I don't know what happened. They came in contact with something else, and now they're like sticking to towels.
Yeah.
And like, what's going on?
If they're degrading and becoming liquid, that's throw them away.
Yeah.
Toxic chemicals, don't put them in anyone's body.
Yeah, that's plasticizing.
When a like chemical touches a like chemical, they break each other down. Mm-hmm. So they're liquefying. If you put a bunch of some of the great water that put a bunch of cheap dildos and toys in a jar, and within 3 or 4 months it was liquid much of water with them, and more like the longer the time went by.
So I just get separated from everything else?
Yeah, you can sit in a plastic bag, you can wrap in a piece of cotton. And
okay.
So I have a second one, you
first and then you.
I was going to say, there's a podcaster named Ruby Ryder who talks about mini Ruby, and she talks about body-safe toys a lot, and talks about the plasticizers and the breaking down. But she recommends for pegging play.
What is pegging?
Silk hybrid.
Pegging is the female that puts on a strap on. And
oh, got it. Okay, got it.
What we're talking about.
So,
thank you.
another loop that's recommended that's body safe. It doesn't have parabens in it. She's researched it extensively. Because it doesn't cause allergic reactions. Because sometimes certain loops have things in them that will cause allergic reactions.
Yeah.
Depending on what you use.
Yeah. See, I'm actually, okay, just to interject.
It's a little different because if you're a woman and you're pregnant and you're using a toy and you have to worry about degrading your toys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What were you going to say?
I had two things, actually. One about latex or non-silicone toys, and one about liquid silk, actually. I've had someone who was allergic to liquid silk.
Really?
She's allergic to parabens and stuff. They're not in there, but she's also allergic to that.
Yeah. They put a type of seaweed in a lot of their products in liquid, and so if you have a fish allergy, you'll have
wow.
It's liquid from my favorite brands, but they have some.
So I'm going to sing the praises of Pyrex toys.
Oh,
I love Pyrex toys. Okay, you'd think, oh my God, why would you put glass up somebody's ass?
I'm a glass.
Oh, I love.
Yes, hard glass are amazing. The glass plugs, they don't rub as much. You can put them in there for a long time and take them to the movies. And and they don't do the chemicals. They don't degrade.
And they're dishwasher safe.
Yes.
What was the name of this loop you all were talking about? It's called
Slickwood Silk Hybrid.
How would you spell that?
Slickwood Sliquid Silk.
It's a water-based silicone.
Let's all say.
There's another good silicone loop called Uber Loop. I love Uber.
Yes.
If you're a female body person with a vagina or a vulva, it's fantastic.
It's amazing.
It has a little vitamin E in it.
Does it ruin the sheets, though?
No, it doesn't. I've never had
so I get lube everywhere.
Well, maybe I'm... See, you have to understand. You're talking to a really old guy.
No,
we don't use that much lube.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we do.
Oh.
Well, okay, sorry. Not always.
I'm just saying that.
It's really expensive.
It's very expensive.
Yeah,
but everything I put in my
vagina
is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I use it for anal.
What you have?
It comes in a pump dispenser, and I mean, literally, it dispenses drops, and like, it's like $50 for a bottle. Is this big?
Oh my God!
And that's
not
a
liquid. It's
called
Uber Lube.
Oh,
so Uber Lube. I'll see if I can get some samples.
Yeah, the samples are.
It's
how I
expensive.
Yeah.
It's nice, but it's very expensive.
And again, see, what this reminds me of is that maybe my information is a few decades out of date, too.
Well,
because in the early days, silicone lube was nasty. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like from the aeronautics industry or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to bring you in an array of silicone.
Okay, I'd enjoy that. Yes.
If you want to teach a lube class, you can do that as well.
Please, I'll show up. I'll be in the front row with notes.
Yeah.
Right, thank you.
We'd be more than happy to do that.
All right. So anyway, so having talked about lube, and I'm sure there's a hell of a lot more, and this is wonderful. This is exactly what I was hoping for. Thank you, everybody. Anybody else want to talk about lube? Yes, please.
Not lube, but you were just saying that you don't have experience with female ass.
Yes.
So there's a book that we tried that was great for us. A friend recommended it. It's great for her. Called Arouse Her Anal Ecstasy by David DeCitore.
How would you spell that?
DeCitore.
Very good.
And,
that's beautiful.
A lot of great insights. Covers beginning the process, talking about it, analingus, it's everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big fan of analingus. Oh, yeah.
One more question about the lube.
Yes.
Albaline. Are people familiar with albaline? It's like a makeup remover. It's like kind of Vaseline.
I'm not fond of it. But go ahead. Keep talking.
So I'm just wondering if I can... It comes in a big jar, but I'd like to put it in a, like a little squeeze bottle, and I'm wondering if I can melt it, like on a double boiler, and then pour the liquid and then have it reconstitute. Is anybody?
Mm.
I have no idea.
No idea.
Okay.
Mm. It just reminds me to... Are you trying to get my attention over there, or are you just saying hi?
No, I really, really, really wanted your attention.
Okay. The arm goes up. Then I'm not puzzled. Okay, please.
When there was mention of glass... There
yes,
was like this
Pyrex.
This Pyrex, there was like a collective gasp through the room.
Of pleasure. We love it.
But I've noticed that sometimes it seems to chip, shatter, and break.
I've never had that happen.
Glass seems to just do that.
But Pyrex is very hard.
No, there's a difference between a hard glass and a soft glass.
Yeah.
And most glass products are made in China if they're cheap. You should definitely buy hand-blown...
Yeah.
Reputable company. Like for when I start making mine, I'm doing a lot of torch work and stuff like that. I use a hard glass, so it shouldn't do that. It's the same stuff they make out of bongs.
Yeah.
But soft glass is cheaper, and if you're in China, you know, stuff like that, they're gonna use cheaper stuff.
It's called borosilicate.
Yeah.
So what would be like a name brand or a label
they're
that I was gonna buy something that's
Icicle.
Icicle.
What is it? Icicle?
Yeah, I think it's icicle.
It's borosilicate. Phalanx is borosilicate, but very expensive and hand-blown and delicious.
Yeah.
And really beautiful designs.
So gorgeous.
I've gotten cheap ones off Amazon, but within a year, the glass changed color, which is, like, horrible. That's supposed to happen over, like, 50 years, so I know it was a poorly made product.
Yeah. Icicle 9 is really
companies?
Inexpensive.
What were those companies?
Icicle 9 is inexpensive, and... Phallix, Phallix, is very expensive, but also incredibly beautiful and great quality.
Yeah.
Big thing, little thing.
Yeah. The big problem that I've seen with me training a bottom with Pyrex dildos and butt plugs is that they tend to disappear mysteriously.
If it doesn't have a flange, don't use it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. We have a candy cane, which is really nice.
Yes, in Scotland.
So is the borosilicate the good stuff or not?
Yes.
Yes.
So I asked you if you wanted chocolate or vanilla, and you said yes. Is borosilicate the good stuff or not?
Yes, it is the good stuff.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Is it borosilicate or fluorosilicate?
B-O-R-O.
Oh, okay, got it. Thank you.
I just picked something.
Got it. Thank you. All right, so let's get back on target here. I mean, I love this. Like I said, this is fun. Okay, so we're going to talk about the actual process. So we've shortened the fingernails, we've smoothed them out.
We have lube.
We got plenty of lube.
Now we
get to work. Now this is where the work begins. Let's assume that somebody is eager but scared. You know, they have no experience with their butt. And that is probably my number one specialty. Is shy ass virgins. Where to begin? I mean, I'm referring back to the article, but if I am seducing this person, male or female, my job is to establish trust and commonality. My job is to cause that little voice in our head. We all have a little voice in our head. I'm going to use the sock puppet motion here next to me. It's going, maybe this wasn't a good idea. I'm not sure about this. You know, I have my considerations. Well, the purpose of that is to cause you to have a flat life where you never take chances, where you're never going to fail. The problem is you're also never going to super succeed either as I go down and up with my hand. The only person that has a life without risk is a dead person, though we have to take chances. Our job as DOMs, as TOPS, is to convince that shy newbie that this is a really good idea. In order to have that happen, I have to drown out that voice in their head, at least in the beginning phases of the relationship, where I will talk. This is what I call time slicing. I'm in the moment. I'm now. I'm in the moment with them. I'm being present with them. I'm saying, I really like this. I can tell you're a little tense. That's okay. I'm going to be patient with you, and we're going to take our time with this. You know, you're doing fine. But only say it if you mean it. Because that person on the other end of this has got their bullshit detectors on real hard. And they're not going to trust you if their gut is saying, don't trust this. So your job, the more authentic you are, the more fully present you are with them, the more likely they're going to go for the gold and have some fun. And if I am playing with their butt, I want to make it feel good. My gut, my job, I might use my tongue. Oh, I like that. I might use my fingers. I'll rub around. If they're tense. See, I'm being very careful here. I'm taking it very slow. You know, somebody who's, you know, obviously a real whore, you know, I've played with plenty of those too, I'm not so gentle with, and I don't do so much talking with. But this is about seduction, okay, with a newbie. So that if I am lubing up my finger, as I said in the article, my job is to accomplish multiple things with my finger. One, I want to see how tense they are. If the outer ring is real tense, the problem is not with their butthole, it's between their ears. They're unsure. They're being really cautious. Or they've been hurt in the past, which is very prevalent. Or maybe they got some poop up there. And again, this part here is absolutely not scientific. I have no proof of this, but it seems to work. Which is that I've been told, stand up, Larry. Okay, this is Larry. He will be our stunt bottom for tonight. No, okay. Yay for Larry. Okay, right around here, this is what described to me decades ago from these other very powerfully, wonderfully sexually athletic men, is that all of us have a bundle of nerves at the base of the spine whose job is to make sure that we don't shit while we walk. So if there's poop down here in the lower bowel, then your ass is going to be tight no matter what. So we do the douching thing. That's kind of not within the... Pardon me, I'm helping myself here. It's Chief Thrill. That's my slave. He's a good boy. All right, go sit down. Let's hear it for our slave. Yeah. But if there's poop, then clearly it's time for douching. That's outside of the realm of this particular discussion because I'm a top and I'm not talking about bottom duties. The internet is jammed full of douching tips. Okay, that's another topic for another time. But if somebody is clean, and I can feel it, and you know there's no obstructions, I'm checking to see which direction they're... See, everybody's different. So I'm a 6'5" man, and I'm a strong man. I got arms like an orangutan. I have been up somebody's ass up to my armpit 3 times in my life with 3 different people. So how the hell does that work? Our insides are not cemented in place. They're loose. They change. So that the only thing that can obstruct us if we're playing with somebody's butt is bone. And everybody's pelvis is different. I have fisted guys, and I've fisted many, many, many men. This up here, this fist has been up at least 400 butts. Some of them quite a few times. But what I've discovered is everybody's ass is different. Some are straight through, but not everybody. Some are curving under the pelvis, at which point you're not going to get very far. Okay. Some of them are shallow, some of them are deep. There's all sorts of differences. But what you'll notice, though, is that there's a second sphincter in there. Okay, so let's sidebar. Let's talk about size queens in the gay men's community. Why are some people size queens? Because, remember, in the article I talked about joy buzzer number one for men, which is the prostate. Well, there's another joy buzzer in the ass that everybody has. It's called the second sphincter. Okay? Some people it's short, maybe 4 inches in. Some people it's 7 inches, whatever. But the reason why some gay men adore, I speak only for gay men, adore a guy with a long cock fucking him is because they're getting a lot of stimulation where there's a lot of nerve endings. Now, they call it a second sphincter, but that's not generally my experience. It's not like the outer sphincter at all. It's not like a tight ring of muscle. It's actually more like a little slit, a little flap, and you've got to find where that is. Some people are straightforward. Like, show of hands, how many people have been fucked in the ass that felt like you were hitting a wall? Okay, you have. Okay, you have. Okay. Why are they hitting the wall? Because they're not coming from the right angle. One of the things that I do when I'm training somebody, let's say they have a second sphincter that is closer than my cock may hit next to it, or off to the side of the second sphincter. But once I have them sit on me and then kind of lean back a little bit, generally I'll hit just the right angle and go through. At that point, he usually comes within about 15 seconds because it's that pleasing. I'm bragging now at this point. One of my boys was with me for 15 years, and my party trick was with him was hitting that second sphincter. And I made him come 7 times. He was 54 at the time. Made him come 7 times in 2 hours. And he begged me to stop because he felt like his spine was coming out of his cock. He said, no more, no more, no more. I'm done. Mercy. But so the point is that once I'm starting to seduce somebody, so that's all sidebar stuff, and I apologize, I'm getting more advanced for the topic. I'm still talking about seduction. If I am playing with somebody's ass, I'm rewarding them with positive reinforcement only. Because, okay, I'm going to talk about getting a bit of sand in your eyeball. Okay, you're young, you're a kid, you're 6 years old or something, you get some sand in there, I'll get it out. So you make a decision. I'm never going to let anything get in my eye ever again. Okay? And stick with that decision. Until the day when you get your first set of contact lenses and it takes you 1.5 hours to get each one in and you're late for work. Okay? Because you have this decision you've made about your eyeball. Can't trust it. Can't trust it when something gets in there. It's the same with the ass. If someone has been hurt in the past, they're going to flinch, they're going to be unsure, they're going to be uncertain. Our job is to distract, like I said, by my using real words, my honest words, and saying, you're doing great, and this is my intention, and this is where I'm taking you, and this is, and I'm perfectly happy if we don't complete everything today. I'll be glad to keep playing with you each time until you get to the point where you need to be, because I'm here for you. And mean it. The reason why I use those terms and in such a reassuring tone is because that little voice in your head that's going, yak, 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 I'm not sure about this, will be very grateful to say, oh, thank God, okay, I'll shut up now. That it's like me saying, thank you for sharing, and I'm going to do this. Oh, okay, and it'll shut up. What I'm doing with that person who may have been harmed in the past or hurt or whatever is that I'm helping them to get beyond that and to get to the glory, the real fun of getting their ass played with. What I'm doing is building up their confidence because we're not born knowing how to relax our ass. People will say, oh, just push out. It's not the same thing. Pushing out is not the same thing as just relaxing. Ah. So pushing out or doing poppers. How many people are here have experience with poppers? There you go. Gay men. Yay, gay men. I don't recommend them. I don't recommend them at all. I don't like any form of drugs whatsoever. I'm dead set against drugs. Poppers are butyl nitrate. In the old days, okay, why they called them poppers back in the 70s is that you could go get an emergency kit anywhere. Just go to the store and go buy an emergency kit. And they would have these little cotton-wrapped glass capsules that when you popped it, then it would release amyl nitrate. And people would, and they'd get all high for a moment and it would relax their ass. Then it became illegal to have amyl nitrate, because people were abusing it. Well, then people started selling butyl nitrate, okay, which is another very, you know, People use it to clean cassette heads. You know, it's a solvent. It's like sniffing glue, in my opinion. But anyway, so then butyl nitrate came in big, and that became illegal. Well, then people were still selling some variation of it as, what are some of the FACO things that they were selling it as?
Vinyl cleaner,
yeah, stuff like that, yes?
It's, in 2015, it's electrical connection cleaner.
Electrical connection.
There's no more video cassettes to clean.
You said VCR head cleaner.
Well, why don't you come on in and join us, brother?
Because I was late and I didn't want to.
Come on in. Come on. I invite you. Yes.
Yes, we're coming. I totally agree with your comment about not using poppers. You're 100% correct. And, you know, I kind of wondered every time I've used it. I never relaxed. It always made my head feel like it was going to explode. Yeah. That's why I thought it was called poppers. And I wonder if it has an effect of really raising your blood pressure.
Oh, it does all sorts of nasty things. What were you going to say?
Your blood pressure.
It what?
It crashes your blood pressure.
Oh, it goes down?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's brain is starved for oxygen.
It's very painful.
Flush.
Oh, okay. It's very painful. I hated it.
Just to talk a little bit about why I'm dead set against drugs. Drugs are a prop when you're playing with somebody's, or a crutch when you're playing with somebody's ass.
Well, when you're playing with them in general, I've had to deal with metamors and stuff who wanted to drug my pets and whatever. Could, oh, I just want, you know. Yeah. No, that is not.
No, not okay. Someone else wanted to say something? Thank you. Someone else wanted to say something? Where I'm coming from, why I'm dead set against drugs, I speak from deep experience, both with drugs and without drugs. I very nearly overdosed in 1976. I nearly died. And it was very common back in the 70s for everybody to do drugs. And it scared me really badly. So right, that was just before I started hanging out with a bunch of the Leathermen. Well, back then, in the hardcore party scene, the kinky parties, the fisting parties, all that stuff, I've been to hundreds of them. And each time I would be the only sober person there. And I know that this doesn't fit logically, but I'm alive and they're dead. That it's not healthy to go down that path, period. And also, being dead set against drugs, I've learned how to play with somebody where you don't need them. It's a crutch. Because if I can get you to relax right now, get you to relax by having you sniff this. Okay, you know, the big top tells me I should sniff it. And if I harm you, you won't notice it now, but you'll know it later. And I'm sure all of you have experience on the internet with people with the everted buttholes and stuff saying, oh yeah, look at this rosebud, wow. That's damage. That's pure damage. That's stretching. That is not healthy. I mean, I've known a lot of older gay men who have to wear diapers because they don't have that much control over their assholes anymore. I don't teach stretching. I teach relaxation. One of the things that I teach is that if you take anesthetic and you inject it into somebody's ass, 5 minutes later you can put your whole fist up their ass because of relaxation. It's not stretching. Okay.
Another thing as a top, we're in kind of we take the responsibility of consent.
Yes.
If you're drugging someone,
yes.
We have rape culture now.
Yep.
We've got all these things, you don't even want to risk it. But then on top of it, I've had my husband, who has extensive experience, and with my newer pets, I've noticed as well, they're like, you can push them to do stuff, and then the next morning they regret it.
Yes.
It's called slut space, it's called subspace, it's a head space, and that's harm. Emotional harm is still the same thing, and you can still damage them, and you can still all those types of things.
And there goes all that trust you've been trying to build up.
Yeah. And then
absolutely.
Once you, it's kind of when you're talking about like hitting the wall and then, you know, then an orgasm. It's same thing emotionally. You hit those walls, but if you're able to take those walls down and get them to relax and trust you, it's so much more intimate and more fun, and you can go to places both of you may never have gone before.
Yep. Thank you. Very wise. And, you know, that's one of the things I'll be talking about. One of the topics coming up is I talk about the four phases of training a submissive. And the goal, as you were just saying, is to get someone to ecstasy. The real thing, not the drug. Where you hit new highs every time. and it's never boring, and it's always delightful. And 20 years from now, even if you don't play ever again, you high-five each other because it was such a peak experience in your life. What's underneath everything that I will be teaching is the concept of kink, leather, and fetish as extreme intimacy, as opposed to what is portrayed in the porn. It's a different thing. As opposed to, very heavily as opposed to, what we've been taught. You know, one of the things I have to tell people all the time is, this is not a pirate movie. I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to make you bleed and be sad and say, 40 lashes, that's your punishment. I talk about that all the time. And poor Scott's probably heard me say it 80 times, you know, because he's attended a lot of my classes. But the point is, that's the stereotype, you know, that all kinksters are abusers. You know, all twisted people are this way and that way. And it's not like that at all. My experience instead, and the reason why I talk about this stuff, and why I suspect a lot of you are going to keep coming back, is because I tend to believe that you guys share this philosophy, that it's about deep connection. It's about taking each other to new heights because you're glad to go, and everybody's happy at the end of it, and everybody wins. So, you know, that's really what's underlying all of this. And that's, all my classes are going to be about that. Because as someone who does not fail, and I'm not kidding, I don't fail, when I'm playing with people, it's always a win-win for everybody. And I want that, all of this stuff to soak in so that everybody gets that kind of pleasure. I mean, I mentioned the fact that I don't lose at the dinner this last Monday, and people jumped all over me, oh, no, no, everybody fails. I don't, you know, and that's not a brag, it's just true. Because I've learned over the decades how to approach things. And I know I'm being covering this kind of slowly, but I want it to really soak in. I want to like keep making these points because I want so much for everybody to come away from this with something really good. So, sorry for repeating myself. Getting back to the main topic. So, we've started playing with somebody's butt. I'm penetrating them. I might, after successfully getting them to be able to take a finger, but they clearly can't take any more, as I might loan them a really nice butt plug that's just right around the same thickness as my finger. Say, okay, every day, put this in. Come back to me, you know, and tell me how it went. Well, once they know they can take the finger, then, you know, they'll do it, and then they're comfortable with it, and I'll bring them a different one if they're having difficulty relaxing. I know it sounds like I'm taking an awfully long time. For some people, this may be a problem, but I constantly train newbies. I was saying at the dinner the other night that in this month that we're in right now, I have taken 17 kinky newbie cherries, and I never fail. And that's why I'm taking time to teach you. So I'm going with this, is that in order for me to get them to the place where they need to be, if they're tense, if they've been damaged in the past, I'm going to take time. And it's worth it. It's worth the investment, because the payoff is that they turn into little slut pants, don't they ever? And so, now, I'm going to sidebar for a second. I'm going to hand the microphone on over to our own Larry. I'm putting you on the spot. Would you, and I'm not looking for praise, I'm not looking to have my ego pushed, but would you please tell me what your experience was of being trained?
It's exactly what you said, Tommy. I'm 57 years old. I have a husband. I've had many, many, many lovers in the past. Like yourself, I've lost dozens and dozens of dear friends. I have never enjoyed anal sex. It was painful. Nobody knew what the hell they were doing. So I basically wrote that part off of my life. My husband also doesn't like anal sex. Until you find somebody that knows what the hell they're doing, you don't know what it's like to really enjoy, you know, that experience. And I've never had a moment of pain when we play. If you learn the techniques, if you learn to go slowly and to listen to your partner and to really be sensitive, you will open up so many doors of joy with your partner. It is just so true. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful, wonderful sex, Tony and I. not an ounce of pain, unlike what it was with all my other past lovers. And it's just because you know exactly what you're doing. And for you to be able to impart that knowledge to all of these folks here and to be able to spread that joy is a wonderful opportunity. And it's just so true. So,
thank you. So I'm going to go more into the actual step-by-step because I tend to get very distracted. You've noticed that. It's my nature. So I'm going to kind of monologue for a short while. So I've got my finger in there. I've been playing with them. I've been praising them. But only when it's true. If I say, okay, relax. And they don't relax. But they're trying. They're really trying. They want to figure out what the hell, you know, which muscle is it that I'm supposed to be relaxing. I don't ever say push out. Like I said, to me that's a different function. The only way they're going to know that they're doing it right is if I tell them when they do it right. Okay, not yet. Not yet. There, that was it. Okay, now tighten up like you're really tightening up on me. Okay, now relax again. Good job. You got it right. You know, you can have a cookie. But what I'm doing is that I'm teaching them to find the switches inside their head that allow them to relax. I mean, there's guys that I've played with, like I said, where they could be tight as a drum, but the moment that they know that there's some cock coming at them, they relax like that because of practice. They've learned how where that switch is. And once you learn it, it's forever. It's wonderful. I call it teaching someone to be receptive. It's a terrible joke. This is true. I used to go to the gym just over across the freeway, one of these directions, I think this way. And there was a guy at the gym, and he was wearing, this was back in like the 80s, and he had a pair of headphones on that had a wire that came down and into the back, into behind the band of his shorts, so it led down into his pants. I said, what's that? And he says, oh, it's the newest thing. It's an FM radio, you know. And he said, that's my antenna. And I said, oh, well, I had heard that you had a receptive ass, but I didn't know this is what that meant. Sorry. I got to go. Whatever. He didn't think it was funny, but I did. All right. So anyways, so when someone has relaxed enough to be able to take one finger, then I'll pull out for a while, and then do it again. Why? Because I'm reinforcing what they've already learned. But then, if I feel that they're ready, then I might do two fingers. Okay? But that's usually literally, you know, a stretch for some people, so I'll take it slow and I'll take it careful. Usually in between play sessions, I'll have them have a dildo. I mean, a butt plug. And like I said, there are many different sizes. But every day I say, you know, whenever you jack off, wear that. Have it in you. Squirm on it. Make it feel good. Our goal is to build up sexual pleasure from the butt. Because if they just think of it as a place where they poop, they're not going to think of it as particularly erotic. We want them to think of it as something erotic, like, wow, I can't wait for the next time. But anyway, so let's say that they can take two fingers. Well, the most important thing is to graduate from two fingers to a thumb. Now, I've got a big thumb. And if they've graduated to the thumb, then that's when things start getting really fun. Now, I'm going to segue directly into gay male at this point. I'm talking gay male entirely here. Or anybody who wants to play with the man, anybody who wants to play with the man's ass, what I'll do is once somebody's graduated to the thumb, the best angle for me personally, other than standing, is when they're on their hands and knees and their dick is available, and I'll start playing with the prostate. I'll do little circles around it. Let's say that there's a mound of the prostate, and just before that, there's like this little valley. Well, I twiddle that back and forth, side to side to side. I'm looking at Larry smiling over here. Happy memories, happy memories. Yep. But the idea is to reward. What were you going to say?
Finish your
thought. Okay, so the goal is to reward it becoming sexual. You're building that positive feedback loop. And once it's in there, it stays. We're like, oh boy, joy buzzer time, happy, happy. And so then if I'm twiddling and all that, then I will notice that the prostate is getting very hard. It's building in size and firmness. Well, that means he's getting ready to come. Well, I will say, okay, leave your dick alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Not yet. And then I'll I'll start doing it again. Okay, grab your dick again and get him up and then drop him down and get him up and drop him down. Let go because I'm still controlling what's going on. I'm the Dom. I get to say what happens. Well, the reason for this is I'm edging him and basically milking him and getting him more and more excited and more eager for what is coming up. Well, then when he does come, it's with me inside of him, you know, fingers or dick or whatever, so that it's like the most powerful experience. I mean, you know, we could give some testimonials here, but we won't. But, you know, it just like goes all over the damn place, yep. And they've discovered a new toy. You know, their ass is happy now. So please.
So with women, something you can do once you have a thumb in is you can actually rub the tissues in between from the vagina into the ass. And, you know, I've had experience with someone who just went nuts. So I could get her off four times and then start playing with her ass. And she could go two or three more before she started saying, okay, it's too many times. Let's stop this. But yeah, you can do a similar thing where you play with your fingers inside both holes. And then, you know, be playing with the clit with your other hand. So it works.
You know, I'm a gay man, but that sounds good to me. Yes, please, love.
I have a question and then just a
observation.
An upgrade for that.
Please.
Women don't have a prostate, but we do have something called a periurethral sponge. It's what fills with fluid and causes squirting. And you can get to it from either the vagina or the rectum. And you can actually, if you get the right spot, that's what you're getting. And if you've properly stimulated woman, aroused woman, that tissue engorges quite a bit. And we actually have just as much erectile tissue as men do. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
Exact same amount. It's just located in different
testify.
Places.
Okay.
And you can feel it swell.
And
so you can get to it. It doesn't create seminal fluid or prostate fluid, but
it has a function.
It does create a fluid. It has and it's some full, properties.
And it's full of nerve endings, no doubt.
And it's full of nerve endings and receptors and...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Is that another name for the G-spot?
The G-spot. Don't get me started with the G-spot. Yes. Engaged with the G-spot, yes.
That tissue you were talking about.
That tissue. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's just like the base of the clitoris kind of sits on, and tell me if I'm incorrect about the anatomy, but the clitoris kind of sits on this tissue, and everything inside is sort of the G-spot. But you basically are grinding against it when you're stimulating that same area. But it's all like, it's deep and internal. It's like an iceberg.
Really?
They're all squished together. It's a small space, right?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff in there. But the whole urethra is covered in like this tube. So think like pool noodle. Right, so the urethra goes through that, and that all that tissue is our periurethral sponge tissue, and it swells just like.
Oh, that is so cool!
And then that's what filled all these glands in there. It would fill with fluid when we're aroused, and that's what causes female ejaculation. It can back up into the bladder, or it can come out if she learns to relax.
I'm so pleased to hear this. I really am.
It's so much to teach you about women's anatomy.
I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to learn.
I have a question about the finger thing, right?
Yes.
You have much longer fingers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, do you have any tricks for, like, your fingers?
Well, you have to understand, we don't need a lot of depth.
It's not long enough.
We don't really need a lot of the depth. I mean, yes, there are men who have a prostate that's further in, but it's not that much further in.
I mean, I can't get any farther. My hands.
Well, at that point, then you start getting out the butt plugs and the dildos. Yeah, because, you know, everybody's built different. You know, that's just a fact. Yeah.
They don't do this, the butt plugs.
I know.
What they kind of do.
They don't do this.
The finger crooking. Yeah. Yeah, they don't have the muscle
don't
control of it.
Is anyone designing that yet? Oh, so
there's got to be really neat
Well, actually... What I can do is that at the next class, I'm going to bring one of my favorite, most intimidating toys, which is one of the new thruster-type dildos.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a power washer of a thing. I mean, it's like
a
wow. It's like, pardon me? A what? Like a what? I didn't hear it. What?
Oh, it's not that.
Like a what?
A sawzall.
The sawzall.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Well, it is very much like that. it said it goes pump, 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 pump. And you just hold the handle and it's going, blah, blah, blah. You know, so as opposed to just a vibrator, it actually thrusts. Yes.
This is a humorous suggestion, but UCSD's mechanical engineering department is always looking for projects. They're doing this all the time. They're like, oh, can we build something for your lab? We want to have a project. So, you know, maybe some adventurous students could be harnessed into this. Well, mechanical engineers.
How about this? How about this? How about you be team one, you be team two, you be team three, you know, on and on. And we choose different students saying, okay, we're pitting you against that one. Whoever gets the most orgasms from theirs wins. Yeah, getting a little competitive. I love it. That's beautiful. Thank you. And see, again, my ignorance is my own fault. I mean, I could have learned this about women a long time ago. But as a gay man from the 70s, you know, whatever, I've got a lot of noise in my head that caused me to stop investing in people who aren't like me. And I'm done with that. And I'm so pleased to learn new stuff, and I thank you. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Me too. I'm a lesbian. Mm-hmm. So this is all new to me.
Yeah, let's have some
prostate
fun.
Prostate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, and you can be doing it side by side with me, and we can have a competition to see, you know, who does it even, you know, more thrilling. And we'll have a long line of eager bottoms waiting to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so getting back to where we're going. I've been playing with somebody, I've been getting them off, I've been building up a positive erotic response. Well, they're going to come back with their tail wagging wanting more. Well, my goal is not to get my fist up the most of the time. If that is their goal, I'm happy to go along with it. First of all, my hand does not fit most people. Okay, it's a big fist. Now, there is one lesbian who I am very angry with, and I'm holding a grudge because I was talking to her this about 25 years ago, I was at a big international leather event, and I said, you know, my fist, it just doesn't collapse. She says, oh, that's easy. Watch this. She grabs my hand with and puts her two thumbs on top of my hand and goes, pop. And she says, now try it. And I collapsed it like crazy. I said, how did you do that? She said, it's a secret. She walked away. What?
Yes.
What? This is the Holy Grail. I've never been able to figure it out.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, it's like magic. And I've never heard of it since. So I'm holding you responsible. You gotta find her.
Yeah.
You might
want to
find a masseuse.
She asked
for
person.
That
like
could be
a masseuse or a chiropractor.
Something, yeah.
Someone who knows the anatomy knows what she would have popped.
I don't know.
Oh man. I mean, yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. We gotta make it a priority, guys. We really do.
Yeah, I go for that too.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
like
yeah.
Some pie
made
from Kill Bill would know.
Two finger death hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. So anyways, but my goal, like I said, is to get them happy, not necessarily to try and get them to take it up to my shoulder, whatever. If that's their thing, I'm glad to go along with it. Now, as a sidebar, I mean, as long as I'm thinking of it, a lot of thoughts go into my mind. The guys who can take it all the way to my armpit have all been tall, have all been very slender, like really slender, and all have had big horse cocks that never get hard. I've never understood that. But for some reason, that seems to be the genetic pattern that can handle it. So there you go.
Did you say horse cocks that never get hard?
Yes. Yeah. Where you'd have to use a broom handle to stuff it up somebody's ass. Yeah, where it never gets hard. It's just a big spongy thing that there's no difference between erect and non-erect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there you go. So that's a little interesting. That'll be on the test, by the way. Okay, so anyways. So I've been... Yeah, really. You know, and the joke back in the old days was that, you know, the reason why you saw so many gay men with shaved heads is for head fucking.
There's a YouTube video.
Really? Well, I'm sure.
Guy,
well,
was a girl.
Isn't it Rule
32
or 34?
34. 34. Oh, I love Rule 34.
Yeah, really.
That's a website, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. You guys familiar with Rule 34?
Yes.
Please.
Rule 34 is if it exists, there is a pornographic version of it.
Oh. Yeah.
And then there's Rule 62, 64, where I don't remember what that one is.
I think 34 is if you can think of it.
Yes. It exists.
There's porn.
Okay. Yeah. So, and there's actually a website. You just type it in, and it will give you the porn version of it.
Yeah.
Don't let your daughters YouTube Disney princesses.
Oh, Lord. Okay, we're getting off topic here. So we've been doing this for an hour. Does anybody need a bio break? Okay, so let's do that. I'm sure that there's got to be somewhere. So I'm going to pausify this, and then let us go ahead and take a 10-minute bio break. If you see my hand up like this, it means we're gathering, okay? Just on the other side of this wall here.
You guys can
That's attractive as a concept. I like that. Let's see. There's
your shock baton. Oh, that was amazing.
I want to see it.
Because we over-talked on our BDSM one, because a lot of people were asking questions, and we didn't get much to the choice. She's like, wait, before everyone leaves.
Well, my favorite way of doing that is... I have two of my single tails out in the car with the new
crackers.
Well, crackers, but what they're made out of? What is it again? Kevlar. Oh, and they make the best noise.
Yeah,
and that's a good way to get people's attention. Oh yeah. All right. So back on the topic. So any observations before we get to the next part? Any thoughts, any expectations, any questions? Okay, good. Yes, please.
If you're playing with a butt and you have fingernails, you can stuff cotton underneath every single fingernail. And
really?
I would prescribe non-latex gloves.
Yes. That's brilliant.
Nitrile, because it... protects their butt from your
and fingers. It won't cut the gloves either.
It won't cut
that
the gloves.
That is so cool.
And if they're textured gloves, if you like Black Dragon gloves, you can turn them inside out.
Yes.
Huh.
You can do that. Girls with vaginas and lots of things.
Yeah. So a lot of gloves have grippy
kind
of texture on the outside. If you turn them inside out, they're slick as heck.
Oh, that sounds great.
And also they hold on to lube a lot better, it seems. Because they don't like get wiped off as easily. I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes silicone does this too. Yeah, sometimes silicone does this too. If an orifice is tight, it'll actually sort of like almost scrape off the lube. Silicone lube doesn't scrape off as well, but if you do the thing where you turn your gloves inside out, the lube doesn't seem to come off as easily.
Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. I love it. Thank you. Okay. So let me refer to my notes real quick because I am old and easily distracted. It's true.
I like gloves. It makes it very easy cleanup. You can just add lube, you don't have to worry about
gloves, condoms.
Because, like, usually, you know, again, if you're having sex, if it's emotional, whatever, you can just kind of, like, whip them off, turn them inside out, and then deal with everything. I go kind of retarded during sex, so the less thing you have to do with it.
Yeah, you're talking a lot of people using more gloves.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I really like silicone toys, and I really like silicone lube. So something I do is I buy large condoms. Really, I mean, I'm a bit of a size queen, so I have large condoms, but basically you roll them all the way to the end, take them over the base, and you can actually tie them off.
Yep.
And use all lube you want. As long as they're tied off, they're not going to get dirty, and then you take it off, and it's not ever going to touch your cock.
Okay. So we've covered pretty much everything that's in the article. You know, that's the reference point there. But the main thing that I want to say, I have played with a lot of people, a lot of men. Okay, I'm ready to start, you know, opening up my vistas, you know. The main thing that I want to convey is based on people's reactions and feedback, this is exactly the right kind of crowd to talk to in my taste. And I'm going to give you guys a little bit of feedback. I've been enjoying how you've been reacting. I've been enjoying your feedback. You'll notice that I don't punish anybody for, you know, speaking out or anything like that. I never will. Because this is about us finding reasons to trust each other. All of us. Finding reasons to build new friendships. That's why I do it this way. I want us to bond with each other. I want everybody to have value in this gathering here. That's why I do it. Now, your suggestion earlier, and I'm very glad. Could you repeat it again for our radio audience?
You had a question about touching the hand to where it collapsed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I suggested for the people listening to the recording, if they know, that they can email in with
right.
the answer.
And the email address would be papatony@mac.com, papatony@mac.com, because this is a big sharing experience. This this information is going to be going over a lot of radio waves. And I'd love it if somebody out there in Radio Land would come back and tell us how to do that, and we'll have a special class. That would be wonderful. And then suddenly everybody's fisting. It's like, where'd that come from?
Desire will be much different. Desire is a woman's thing every year in June.
Oh yes, tell us more about that. We were just talking.
I have not been, but it's all women's weekend from Thursday to, I believe, Sunday. And it's literally that. Everything you desire, you go up there and you write your name on a wall with your phone number and what you want. They have different demos. They have a fisting competition. Mm-hmm. They rent out the entire hotel in the middle of the desert, so clothes are not usually a thing. Mm-hmm. I know someone who did a drowning scene they were curious about their pansexuality, so it reaffirmed them for that, and they had a great experience that way. Extreme cuttings. If you trying to find people to do those deepest, darkest desires with. And the whole thing is, again, trust and bonding and just, I hear it's an amazing experience. And you got to sign up when it's open because it sells out the tickets. So yeah. You can't do it last minute.
So how would you find out more? Because desire is a very generic word to put onto the internet.
I don't know.
Desire Women's Weekend?
Yeah.
Just Desire Women's 2016, and it'll come up.
Yeah.
What this reminds me of, and honestly, it seems further beyond. I've been attending, or at least been invited to, an awful lot of men's events that have been very similar. I can't believe how wonderful this is to hear the women are doing it too. It's a joy. I'd love to hear this because gay men have been doing it for fucking a long time. And this sounds very healthy. Hey, Jared.
Oh, here it is.
Welcome, brother.
So it's Desire Leather Women Unleashed, and it's at www.desireleatherwomen.com.
Cool.
Oh, sorry, .org.
.org. Okay.
But yes.
I'll edit that out. So there's not a lot more that I was really planning to cover tonight. So I'm going to talk a little bit about upcoming stuff. Like I said, there are going to be some esoteric concepts. One of the ones that I want to do, now this is not even really part of this, so I'll go ahead and pause the recording. But how many people here have taken the Myers-Briggs personality test?